In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we have arrived after all these days and weeks of Lent. We have finally arrived at Holy Week. For those who have been to see the Harry Potter musical in Melbourne up until now, it has been necessary to attend two performances. Part one and part two have been separated by a few hours, or you might choose to go the next day. So, two parts. And of course, it would be really unsatisfactory and unsatisfying to only attend one part of the story. Now we know that it has been condensed into one show, and so necessarily some sections of the story will be missed out. And I know of at least one actor with a significant part who is not required for the condensed version. His part has been cut out. So there are clear problems with cutting a compelling story short. And similarly, if you attend a ballet or a concert, you would not waste your expensive ticket, would you, by leaving after the overture to do a bit of shopping or go and have a lie down before you came back for the last act or final musical item. Well, today, as we enter Holy Week, we have heard many words and hopefully absorbed some of the colour and drama of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, followed by that passion story from Luke. On Good Friday, we will hear another passion story, and this time it will be from the viewpoint of the Gospel of John. So this week we do indeed enter the whole drama of Holy Week. And it is one story, an incredible liturgical drama spread over the 4 days of Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. These four acts are one complete story, one complete service, not four separate services. We cannot sing Hosanna one Sunday, praise the Lord, and then jump right through to next Sunday singing that word that begins with A that we are not supposed to say or sing in Lent. I wonder if you know what I mean. It is Hallelujah. So we can't jump from Hosanna today to that A word next Sunday without experiencing the desolation and the emptiness of the cross in between. Only when we begin to experience Christ as dead can we celebrate the joy and surprise of him risen. So, if you like, today, Palm Passion Sunday, is the overture in the drama. It brings together many of the elements of the story in which we will immerse ourselves in the next week. So we have the program notes for the drama today. We've been handed the program notes. But of course, what the program notes don't have in them is how we will personally respond. You never get that in program notes at a concert, do you? You must feel this way or that way. We all experience different emotions and have different responses by the end. And our experience this Holy Week will depend on our openness and our willingness to respond. In the overture today, we see Jesus taking deliberate provocative action in our first Luke reading. You may have noticed that Psalms actually aren't mentioned in the Lucan reading we had today. They are in the other Gospels. So we are coming to the culmination of Jesus' determined heading back to Jerusalem. What is he so impelled by? I suggest that it is that little word I think I've mentioned before, the Greek word dei, D-E-I, which translates as must in the English. And the must is the throbbing heartbeat of God's love, seeking to restore all to relationship with God's self. Jesus organizes to ride a colt by sending two disciples as advance agents, preparing for a royal entrance. A royal entrance that is one like no other. A paradoxical combination of power and humility. What sort of kingly leader is this? Zechariah the prophet says, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey. The story of Jesus is not the story of a king as a strong man who starts a war, who tells the story of making Russia great again, a story based on mythical origins, ancient entitlement, unjust deprivation, restoration of destiny, inevitable struggle, final conquest and endless glory. We have heard such a story as that before, of course. It was the story of the Nuremberg rallies. It was the story that the German Lutherans, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Karl Barth, rejected when they said in Germany during World War II, "The Lord is my Führer." So let us see what is happening in Ukraine clearly. Vladimir Putin is telling a false story that needs to be rejected. The true story is the Lord, our King Jesus, the one who comes in on a donkey and enters the city of Jerusalem knowing that death awaits him. I wonder if you remember that chilling moment in the Passion story when the crowd turns against Jesus, having previously welcomed him, and shouts, "We have no king but Caesar." The humility of Jesus is the divine humility entering fully into our human condition. In this, Jesus shows us something of what true humbling is, what it involves. It is the utter self-emptying of God, as we read in the Philippians hymn today. We meet God in the humility he has chosen in Jesus Christ. Indeed, the humble God has come to be with us. With us. Another phrase that throbs through the gospel. In fact, the whole scriptures. And we can only get to the saving power of God through the humility of the human life and death of Jesus. So let us encounter the powerful humility of God in Christ this week as we deeply immerse ourselves in the entire liturgical journey, which ultimately is God's whole glorious plan of salvation for us, culminating in resurrection life. as we allow ourselves to go with the flow of events around Jesus, may we experience unexpected graces that renew and transform us. Amen.